sort of, you know, like.
And then the morning rabbi said.
So the Chofetz Chaim has been discussing the whole chapter on the din of Apeit Loso and how it's misunderstood. But he says there is such a concept. The Gemara does say that something that's said in front of three people less be mishum lishna bisha, and therefore there must be an application to it. The Chofetz Chaim says that I will explain to you how it's mutter, but it involves I think it's six or seven conditions. And he says that it's very rare that those six or seven conditions will all be fulfilled. And therefore, he says, basically, don't rely on Apeit Loso. But because it's Torah and we have to learn it, so the most important condition amongst all of the conditions is the Rambam said that if something is said in front of three people, the secret is out, it's public knowledge, and therefore the people who heard it can tell it further. Okay, that was what the Rambam was saying. Says the Chofetz Chaim, based on the Rishonim who understand and the Achronim who have understood the Rambam, that he says the first condition is that your intention must not be to spread Lashon Hara. In other words, you heard a piece of Lashon Hara. Like I said yesterday, somebody who was a regular member here is now sitting in prison for some terrible crime. Yeah, so we heard about it. I told it in front of this Oilam, the number of people coming to this shiurim. 35 people heard it at my Lashon Hara shiur. And now the public knows about it. Therefore, says the Rambam, you can tell it further. Says the Chofetz Chaim, but that's limited to if it happens to come up in conversation and you mentioned it, then you're allowed to. In other words, if you've got a group of people standing around the back of the shul, and one of them says, I heard a really, really geshmak Lashon Hara in Shir yesterday. Yanky Wiesenfeld told everybody that Ploini has gone to prison for some terrible crime. Yeah? Then that's Lashon Hara. Said, but for instance, if you're on the HKMS committee, and you're discussing about the meals that we're sending out to the various prisons across the country, and the people who are on the committee say, somebody says, well, unfortunately, we've got a new customer. Yeah, each meal has to be labelled with the name of it. And Ploini is sitting in Wandsworth prison because he was convicted of a crime. So that's not an intention to spread Lashon Hara. There's a practical reason there as to why. Or if somebody would ask me, or ask one of you, why doesn't Ploini come to Torahway anymore? And you would say, because we heard that he's in prison. For some reason, yeah, he is in prison. Then, says the Chofetz Chaim, if it comes up in conversation and you happen to mention it for some reason, then the Rambam will say that because you heard it Apeit Loso, therefore you're allowed to mention it. But stum to be in a group of, you know, sitting around the table at a chasna or a bar mitzvah or something like that, and one says, you know, I heard something really, really interesting, that Ploini got convicted of such and such a crime and he's now sitting in prison, etc., etc. Even if you heard it Apeit Loso and the news is out, nevertheless, says the Chofetz Chaim, that would be osa. If your intention is to be malicious, to spread Lashon Hara about the person, then that's not mutter. The heter is only if it comes up in conversation and you happen to mention it, agav, as part of the conversation.
You tell me what to do. Pen, you tell me. What about you?
Started the Elteraway Northwest London Monday, Kaftalad Adoration, 4th of March, Rabbi Avram Adler, Shlita. The medication I need on paper is not on the approved list. What should I do? This week's start your day with Teraway Shiv have been sponsored anonymously with his first Sash Shavuim Ba Chayolim on the Chamorish Rachsul of Otahem L'Shalom Bim Heiroh.
Amen. Amen. First of all, I wish everybody a very good morning. And maybe a word of apology for speaking about Pesach so early. Don't want to get people nervous. But it's gentlemen, not ladies, so it's not quite as bad. There is a problem that comes up year after year. I'm going to concentrate on, to begin with, medication taken by adults. If I have time later to come to children's medication, which is even a bigger problem. But there's a problem that's been getting more and more difficult over the years. And that is, since I've been doing this work, which is probably around well over 40 years now, I can't even lost count, but is a major problem, and that is that even though it's very, very easy to identify the ingredients are in a medication, even the inactive ingredients, as you know, every tablet and every medicine has got the active ingredient, which is that which is supposed to help you with the refuah part of it. And then there are what they call excipients or other ingredients that are there. It depends for different reasons. So in tablets, they're usually there to bark the thing up because you couldn't ever take such small amounts as the actual ingredient would be required for the health, the refuah purpose of the medicine. And since it's not possible to take very tiny amounts, so tablets are made with loads of other ingredients in them that that help bulk the tablet up, help make it more smooth as you swallow it, different things hold the thing together. And these ingredients, it's quite easy to find out what the ingredients are. The problem is knowing what those ingredients were made from. And the problem is that there's a potential, even not a vadai, but there's a strong potential, that many of these ingredients could be derived from actual chomet sources. And that potential seems, from what we understand, to be getting worse over the years. So the type of ingredients I'm talking about, just to give a couple of examples, one can see, it's nowadays very easy to see exactly what is in your tablets, because every time you get a prescription dispensed at the pharmacy, they are supposed to put in the patient information leaflet, and at the end of the patient information leaflet, number 6, somewhere around usually out there, it says your medicine contains, and it says the active thing, and it says all the other ingredients as well. And some you'll see amongst those ingredients, one of the main ones very often is lactose, which I'm not going to discuss today. Suffice to say, it's not a problem, even though lactose is derived from milk. I'm not going to go into that, because that's nothing to do with Pesach. But there are other ingredients that you'll find. One of the common ones is something called mannitol, which has got a potential that could be derived from comets. There is also sorbitol is sometimes there, maltose, various ingredients like that, that you might notice in certain medication, if you look at that part of the leaflet. And the question was, what can we do about this? I've tried very, very hard for a long, long time now to get information about this and to try and get the firms to tell you what the source of these ingredients are. The problem is, it's not that they don't want to tell you, but they don't know themselves necessarily. They buy these things in. It doesn't necessarily say they're one. They buy it. They don't buy direct from the manufacturer. They buy from wholesalers. And even if they are using one particular supplier today, they could easily be using a different one tomorrow. They're all standard as far as the way they work and the way they act. They're standard chemicals. And once you get to the end result of a chemical, it really makes little or no difference from what it was made. And that's unfortunate, because most medicine manufacturers are very, very worried, for example, about gluten. Gluten is a problem, and even maybe small amounts of gluten. So the problem being, and that's why wheat starch itself, which does contain gluten, is very rare nowadays in medication. It used to be, when I used to give these talks, I was concentrating, well, if your tablet says wheat starch on it, then it could be a problem. Now, if you look, you'll come out never. I have seen one in my list this year that's got wheat starch, but it's come out never, and it's mainly maize starch that's used. So that's not a problem. The problem is these other type of ingredients, which are there in certain tablets, and it's not, as I say, gluten is not a problem for them, because once the wheat is converted into glucose and sorbitol, all these things, the gluten is no longer in, gluten's come out, the product's still gluten-free. So the mere fact that something is gluten-free, as I very often ask this question, say, oh, well, our product is definitely gluten-free. It doesn't help. The same problem is with alcohol, for ethanol, which it's not so much a problem in tablets, but is a big problem in liquids, cough mixtures and things like that. And that's why almost impossible now to find a cough mixture or a liquid which contains alcohol, and most of them do, some sort of alcohol, and usually not in mounts or bottle position. And it's almost impossible to find one where you can state for certain that the alcohol, the companies won't be drawn on it. They say a lot of it comes from sugar, but it could also come from one company that I've been listing every year, and they've always told me the stuff is made in Switzerland, always assured me that it was non-wheat alcohol. This year they said they're not sure. They can't guarantee. They still think they use a lot from non-wheat, but you can't know. So the question is, what can we do about this? So on the lists, you will see certain, when we talk about the tablets, let's take tablets now, because usually, certainly for adults, it's most people are mainly using solid medication. Most people, adults can swallow tablets, and it's fairly rare, though it does happen, that an adult needs a liquid. There are certain chewable things that are a problem, which are taken. Can't go into every example now. Somebody just asked me just yesterday about something called Budenofalk, which is bumetamide, which is used for treatment of Crohn's disease, and their 17-year-old son finds it very difficult to swallow. It does come in capsule or tablet form, finds it very difficult to swallow the capsules or tablets, and this particular, and he's starting a course now for Crohn's disease, and he wants to take this these granules, and these granules do contain a lot of these ingredients I've just mentioned. So what can we do? So as far as tablets is concerned, the main thing to remember is that even if your tablet says, what I've tried to do this year is that where a tablet contains one of these ingredients, I have put down that I put it down as K, or rather than P. It's okay for the year, but not for Pesach. But I've done my best, wherever possible, to suggest an alternative, the same medicine, the same medication, the same drug, but I've tried my best to suggest an alternative which has not got that ingredient in it. They're made by different firms, and very often happens that one particular manufacturer uses that ingredient, one doesn't. The example of this came out last year, which caused me no end of bother, was atorvastatin, because atorvastatin is taken by nearly everybody over the age of about 40, 50. Well, it's very common. Atorvastatin, yeah? Sorry. There's a medication called atorvastatin, which came to my attention last year, that some of the makes of atorvastatin have got in it maltose or mannitol and things like that. So this year I checked about 11 different brands. I found 3 that had it and 8 that didn't. So I've written that, put that in the thing to try and get the brand that doesn't have it in. But the main point I want to make is that this is not really anything to get too worried about. If you can get another brand, you can always check your own brand. If the pharmacist is helpful and you can get another brand, then well and good. But if not, then I don't want you to worry about it too much, and I'll explain why. In fact, I wouldn't want you to worry about it at all. If your medication, and it's a solid medication, which you just swallow, and you look in the Hakol lists, and it says it's K and not P, then you should just carry on and take that medication, unless you can easily get a different brand, but you don't have to drive yourself or the chemist or the doctor too crazy about it, because there's a famous discussion. I just want to give you the background to it, and that is based on, there's a Mishnah Berurah in Simon Tov Mem Beis, Simon Gimel, which speaks about chometz, which the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch there is that chometz in this apesh kodem zman issa. If you've got chometz that has become gone bad and become not edible before the zman issa, nifsal me'achilas kelev, and it's become to a stage where a dog would not eat it. Oisha sarfoso be'esh, or it got burnt and it's got singed until it's not royal for a dog. Or yichel yeshiva was a piece of chometz which has been set aside for a completely different purpose. And according to some opinions, it's got to be toch batit, it's been covered, and you're using it as a stool or something like that. Then you can keep it on Pesach. You're allowed to keep it on Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah then brings, which is based on the Rosh, because then Bachaba says, you're allowed to keep it on Pesach. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Aval b'achila osa, you're not allowed to eat even chometz, which is not fit for a dog to eat. You're not allowed to eat it on Pesach. Midrabonan, you can't eat it. Ad achar Pesach, which implies there's certainly no din of chometz over all of our Pesach money. But you're not allowed to actually eat on the Pesach. And even though, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's an achila she'ein ru'uya, it's something which is not the sort of thing that one normally would eat. But since a particular person wants to eat this chometz, then it's called achshavei. He's made. He has shown his with or his desire to eat something which is actually not edible. So there's a problem with normal chometz of achshavei. It's a rosh. It's a rosh that you attach importance to something that creates an issa d'rabbanan. Now, so that would be quite worrying. Most of these medications that we're talking about, which you just swallow, the chometz has become, the chometz that's in them, when in the days when it was wheat starch, it was the starch, now the mannitol, has become not edible by virtue of the fact that it's mixed in very much properly and totally mixed in with the active ingredient of the tablet, which in most cases is totally inedible, very bitter. Certainly, Nifsal me'achilas odom, which we're going to see in a minute, helps. Certainly nifsal me'achilas odom, and possibly very slightly to be nifsal me'achilas kelev. So there comes to our rescue a chazanish, and the famous chazanish, the chazanish says that the basic gist of the chazanish comes along with a chiddush, which we take on halacha l'maisa. The chazanish comes on with a chiddush that the problem of achshavei, the fact that you attach importance to something, is if you have a mishigana who has got a piece of bread that has become totally moldy and that, and for some reason he gets into his head that he wants to eat it, so then you've got a problem of achshavei. He's being machshav that piece of bread to eat it. Here, certainly in the case that we're talking about, where you've got an inactive ingredient, which the person you're not interested in at all when you swallow your tablet, you're not interested in, that inactive ingredient is only there to bulk up the rest of it that you can get the medicine into you. And your das, says the chazanish, is da to ala samin. Your das, when you have a medicine, the only thing you're interested in is the actual refuah part of the medicine, and you're interested in getting better, or that your whatever it is that you know you're taking that medicine for is controlled by the medicine, and therefore you've got no interest whatsoever in the and you're not machshiv that inactive ingredient at all. And even more so, says the Chazanish, he says, and that will apply even that this type of so-called chometz that we're talking about, even he wants to go as far as say, since it's not the type of chometz that what we call chometz is usually something which is roi lachamea by isacheres, yeast, which has come from bread, which has become moldy in it. So there's a problem that something which could make something else chometz is a problem. He says this, since it's not even fit to make other things chometz, even if it says the chazanish, even if it's only nifsal me'achilas odom. I mean, it's not so bad. It's bad enough. A dog might still eat it. A person wouldn't eat it. Even then, there's no problem about it. And apart from that, there's the additional factor that, generally speaking, there's a halacha for the whole year round, and that we rely on to a great extent when we take medication the whole year. There is a halacha that if you eat something which is shloikedera achilosu, then there's no issa in eating. That means a tablet, even a b'mochem refuah. That is, if you have something which is not the derech achila, a tablet, which the way it's made, if you swallow it, has got no taste or a bad taste. And there's a question about that. There's a machloikus, because according to some opinions, there's a problem because Pesach chometz is actually osur b'hanor on Pesach. So therefore, it's not so straightforward if you would take a piece of chometz and just swallow it in a way, or mix it with something in edible, just swallow it in a way that's not, and you're eating it, then maybe there would be a problem. But here, where it's just a tablet, where there's no hanoas me'ayim at all from the tablet, means when you swallow a tablet, you don't get any you don't get any satisfaction from it. When you swallow a food which has become not royal achila, then there is, even though you don't get much enjoyment out of tasting it, but you do get some hanoah later on. And Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg wrote in an article that is not called, even on Pesach, since no, that's not called hanoah. The hanoah that you get, because the hanoah of the refuah certainly doesn't count. And then, because that's not called a hanoah at all. The only type of hanoah would be a problem is the achila dika type of hanoah, and that wouldn't be a problem. So the main point I want to underline, as far as this is concerned, is that, in general, any tablet, swallowing tablet that you're prescribed, if you can get an alternative, well and good, this is perhaps an Indian to be machmir, Am Yisrael Kedoshim, but certainly one should not take any risk. Sometimes there's certain things which one doesn't mean so badly, you know, it's not just for comfort. Then maybe, because our cholkim on the chazanish, there may be a mokum to be machmir in a very, very limited situation. But the basic underlying rule is that if your tablet, that you've been prescribed, or your capsules that you've been prescribed, happen to be marked down on the list as K and not P, you should take them, notwithstanding anything else, and you should certainly not, chas v'shalom, risk any worsening of a medical condition or any problems because of that. A few things that do come up where it's not possibly quite as simple. There's one where it's not actually tablets or capsules. Like one example I mentioned before, these granules. So that particular case, I advise the person there, because we're talking about somebody already a boy of 17 years old, so we haven't got the din, as we may have a bit of time at the end. That wasn't the main thrust of what I wanted to say. That there are, it's much, much easier when you're talking about giving medicines to children, as I might explain briefly in a moment. But where we've got something like this, which is taken by an adult, and you've got this adult who really finds it very difficult to swallow tablets or capsules, some people do. So one has to find an eitzah. Maybe one can crush the tablet up in certain situations. There are ways of doing it. But those type of things, then it is, obviously, if it's a question of pikuach nefesh, and there's no way a person can take it, and there's a chance to come to pikuach nefesh, then one would be allowed to take it. Bear in mind that in such a situation, one should sell the medicine, and they're famous, everybody will ask, if I sell the medicine, how can I use it? Another example where this problem comes up is, which quite a lot of people use, there's the glycerol trinitrate sprays which people use for angina. Some people have it. They use it quite rarely. If they get an attack of angina, they have to spray it, and they are made up in alcohol. And I've tried very hard to find a brand where the firm guarantees that the alcohol is not from wheat, but nobody will guarantee it. It's made from both, and therefore I can't say for sure that those are I put in the book there. If you're taking it, contact me. But what I normally tell people in such a situation is that they should include this in their Mechiras Chametz. Try their best to keep it in one particular place. The Ayatim, even if they have to move around to take it with them, with the das that it still belongs to the Goy who has purchased the Chametz. And usually, most, in fact, I think nowadays all Rabbonim in their Mechiras Chametz have in it a clause that they make an agreement with the non-Jew who's buying the Chametz that if somebody needs the Chametz for refuah purposes, might be a case of a Chodesh Eish B'Sakona, for example, who needs something which is actually Chametz and he has to take it. So there's one thing of taking it and another thing of owning it. So he is taking that which belongs to the non-Jew. Non-Jew is letting him use his particular medication. And then they'll settle up afterwards that the non-Jew doesn't lose financially by it, but that doesn't actually belong to you. And I suggest that one includes it in one sale. If a person comes to the situation where they would need to take that, then they're already in the status of Chodesh Yesh Pasakona, and there's no question that they would be allowed to take it, and they shouldn't feel too bad about it, because bear in mind, we're not saying it's a Vadai Chometz, it's there's a big suffix whether it's Chometz at all, and therefore, again, something like that, which can be a serious situation, if one needs it, then they should take it. When it comes to, last few moments, when it comes to children's medication, then there's a little bit of a problem in the sense that I found it almost impossible. I've tried very hard to find in this country, in Eretz Yisrael, they do have children's painkillers, for example, paracetamol mixtures, like what we have here, Calpol and things like that. They do have certain brands which have got a Hersha, when there's a Hersha. I've tried here, have not fully, even though I've been even still working on it at the moment with a company to try and be mavarer clearly that what they use is not derived from animals, from chomet sources, these sweeteners that they use. I've tried very hard to mavarer, but I have not yet found one that I could vadai say that it's you know, definitely not from wheat sources. Bear in mind, also very important, that kidneys plays no role in this whatsoever. People get worried. If it's not chometz, these things are going to be kidneys, and that you can forget about as far as medication is concerned, because there's no issa to use kidneys medication, certainly in essential medication. Anybody who needs to be taking these things is certainly out. That wouldn't be a problem. If it would be kidneys, then I would have nothing to say. The problem is that there is a problem. These things are chometz. So the rule, the suggestion that we've been making and the advice that we've been giving already for many years now is that one should sell all one's medication, certainly the children's type of medication, one should include it in one's Mechiras Chometz. And then there is a very interesting halacha about the question of giving the medication to a child. Now, as you know, normally it's not permitted to feed a child. There's an issa, what's called issa of safina. It's not permitted to feed a child with with macholas asuras. You can't just go and give macholas asuras to a child. The question is chometz the same as macholas asuras? So there's, very quickly, there's an interesting Mishnah Berura in Simon Tof Nun, Sifkot Yud Ches in the Mishnah Berura. Just one part of the Mishnah Berura, very, very quickly. Uleinyan Tinoik, you've got a young child, Shenochutz Loi Lecho Lishtos Chometz, that it's important for him to eat. Don't say he's not in Sakona, we're not talking about Sakona. It's important for him to eat or drink chometz. He's not even talking about medication. So the Mishnah says, you should take him to the non-Jew's house, and you should ask the non-Jew that he should feed his chometz to the child. The only problem is you shouldn't take it in your hand, because if you take it in your hand, you might be acquiring it, and then it'll be over, that belongs to you, Bal Yor Bal Yemotze. And if the non-Jew doesn't want to give him you the chometz for nothing, but he shouldn't give him the money then, because then the main problem you see that the Mishnah Berurah is concerned about is that you're acquiring the chometz. So if you don't, but the actual giving of the chometz through a goy is permitted. You're allowed to get a goy to give the chometz. And if you can't take that child outside, and the goy has to come, you should tell the goy, anything that's left you should take home, and then next time you should bring it again. Now, if you can't find the goy each time, says the Mishnah, the goy can leave the chometz in the yid's house. It doesn't belong to it. And then when it's in your house, then you can ask a cotton to give it to the child. But you yourself shouldn't give it. Why? Why shouldn't you give it? Because you shouldn't touch chametz, and also because we're worried about kinyan. Whatever it is, you see clearly, even from this Mishnah Berurah, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav even goes further, that the actual feeding of the chametz, for some reason, there seems to be no issa in feeding the child the chametz.
Tinuk is a baby.
Tinuk means any child, really.
It's cotton. It's
but I don't
cotton
think.
Is a little child. Tinuk is a baby.
I think in this case, I don't think we're machalik between anybody who is under bar mitzvah has got the din of a tin and that return. Anything where it's important, the main point being, because the normal situation would be that it would be for a small child, because the Mishnah Berurah is not talking about medicine, he's talking about actual food. But where we're talking about medication and something that the child needs, the child's not well, even though he's not sakana, I believe it will apply to any child, even. But again, the
chometz is sold. Can you take it from there?
So that's what we're saying. So the main problem being only that you can't be zoich in it. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is concerned about, and that's why he says, try not to hold it yourself. Let another child give it.
Can you take it zoich for the baby?
But you're not zoich, so you have to have. It does. It belongs to the goy, and when you take so. The Shulchan Aruch says you can go one stitch further if you haven't got the eighth of a goy giving it, and you haven't got the eighth of another child giving it, then you could give it yourself. But you have to be careful not to be zoich in it. The question is, what is the rationale behind this? So very quickly, when time is running out, but very quickly, if you look in the Dirshu, he brings it down very clearly on that in that Tof Nun. In note number 26, but he brings down very based on the Tehillah Ladovid, has got a chiddush to say there's a difference between chometz on Pesach and shor isurim during the year, because there is a halacha that even though you're not allowed to feed a child macholos asurois, you are allowed to feed a child something which is only osur because of the time. For example, in Drabonans, the question of, are you allowed to give a child to eat before a tinnik, before Kiddush? So there's really no issa at all. It's only a time that's also, but there's nothing wrong about the sweet that you're giving the child in shul on Friday night. You can give the child directly, there's no problem. And the question about feeding a child on a tanis, on Yom Kippur, whatever it is, so mitzad adin, something which is also because of zman, not because it in itself is also, then that would be permitted. And the Tehillah Dov is mechadish that chometz on Pesach is a issa which is only us for those 7 days of Pesach. It's issa zman. It's not an issa gavra. It's not. It's not. It's a chepse. It's on the zman, and that's the reason why there's this kula. Which you see, even al pisvara, even the Mishnah Berurah is masking to the kula. He's only got other wives because of ownership and things like that. But if you can get around the ownership problem, then you'll have no problem with this. Anyway, my bracha is. I thank you all for listening, and my bracha is to everybody that Hashem, one should not need any refuahs over Pesach, and one should be all well and gesund. And I wish everybody in advance a happy Purim and a happy Pesach and hatzlocha bracha in all your endeavors. Amen. 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 Amen.